Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me, as always, is my co-host from Full Press Coverage, Ref the District, and of course, right here on FGT, Trevor Storrs. How you doing, Trev? Is that good? I'm ramping it up, man, from week to week.
That was good. I feel like I'm at a part of a WWE pay-per-view right now.
We got to get some smoke in the background, some flashing lights.
Yeah.
Maybe you can take a foldable chair and break it on the side of the wall or something. That'd be cool. We got to go video, man. This is going to only work in video, I think. But that being said, everybody, joining us today is one of the Football Garbage Time OGs from all the way back in 2015. It's Joey Alibro. How you doing, Joey?
How's it going, everybody? Happy to be back talking some football. Yeah, it's been about a year and a half since I've been on the show, but you know, since then, graduated from UGA, got my first big boy job, as you can call it, and kind of getting into a groove here, so hopefully make some more appearances on podcasts in there. So
right.
Yeah,
Joey, so you're saying that we're small boys. Is that what you're saying? We're kind of small boys. Small boy stuff going on here. I mean, I don't doubt it. I think that's probably right. But I appreciate the sentiment there, Joey. And great to have you back here. Like I said, Joey was one of those guys who kind of started with us at the beginning in 2015, and it has been a minute since you've been on the show, so it's great to get you back. And I trust you guys both had a great Thanksgiving and had way too much turkey. I'm assuming that's true for both of you.
Oh, for sure.
Well, my uncles and cousins are Cowboys fans, so that was pretty rough for
brutal.
Me.
That's brutal. No amount of turkey is going to make that better. In fact, no amount of whatever wine you're drinking at a time is going to make that better, honestly. So, all right. We got plenty to talk about today, including the important Week 13 games, NFC East dominance, Mike White and the New York Jets, Deshaun Watson's return to the Cleveland Browns, the surging Jacksonville Jaguars, updated AFC and NFC championship predictions, and much, much more. So, what can we get this thing rolling? Okay, first off, something that's near and dear to both of your hearts is the NFC East. And they are the NFC beast right now because they're all in the playoffs. If the season were to end today, amazingly, the Eagles will be first in the NFC. The Cowboys fifth, Giants sixth, and Washington Commanders there at seven. And interestingly, the way it would line up in terms of games, none of them would play each other. It would be NFC East teams in each of the playoff games. Of course, the Eagles will get the bye, and none of them will play each other. So that could actually have a situation where you get to the next divisional round playoffs, and it'd be all NFC East. Wouldn't that be crazy? Let's talk about that a little bit. Trev, let's start with you. I know, obviously, everyone knows that you're bringing the Commanders to the show. You're bringing the command to the show here. But I know you follow the NFC East really closely as well. So what are your thoughts here? Is this a likely scenario for the NFC East and the Commanders in particular?
Yes and no, but more realistically, no, just because based on history and being a fan, I think this is the point of the season where the Giants and the Commanders could both start to fizzle out after having great years. And it's what we do.
Right.
At the same time, it's a different year. I feel like it. We're the best division after being the worst division in the year. So, it's totally possible, but just based off history and being realistic, it's not really going to happen. We're going to have probably the Eagles and Cowboys represent the NFC East this year, but hopefully that changes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, Trev, is that the Commanders and the Giants, and I'm going to let Joey sound off about the Giants in a minute, but they're kind of heading in different directions right now, right? The Commanders are on a three-game win streak and have actually closed the differential between their points for and points against. It's only -3 now. It used to be much, much worse than that, I'll tell you. The Giants, on the other hand, their point differential has expanded. It's about the same at -7, but it was actually much, much better than that. Coming into the last four games, and in particular, it is the last two games being a two-game losing streak here. So they're kind of heading in opposite directions in a way. And they're far, I mean, compared to the Eagles and the Cowboys, the Eagles are sitting there at 10-1 with a point differential of +87. The Cowboys at 8-3 with differential, even better than that, plus 92 based on a really dominant defense. So there, it's almost a tale of two sets of teams, but only maybe three situations. So, Joey, let me give you a minute to sound off on that. Defend your Giants, will you? And tell me, what about the rest of the NFC East? Are they going to make the playoffs?
Just in general for the NFC East, I like Trevor said, I don't picture all four of us getting in there. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are a lock, especially after watching the Giants and the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving. They're truly dominant. Actually looking forward to that matchup between the Eagles and the Cowboys that are second of the year on Christmas Eve, that afternoon game then that Saturday.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun one. But the Commanders and the Giants both have pretty difficult schedules remaining, including two games against each other. Actually, the Commanders play the Giants two games in a row, so they play us Sunday, and then they have a bye week, and then the Giants travel to Washington to play them again.
Yeah.
So that's definitely interesting. And then just other opponents, Giants have the Vikings, the Colts, and then the Eagles twice as well. So that's a pretty rough stretch of games. And then the Commanders also have the 49ers, the Browns, and the Cowboys to close out the season. So realistically, it might be more likely that both of these teams miss the playoffs than all of them make it, right?
Right.
I think the game Sunday is going to be huge for both teams, probably the biggest game of the season for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the one coming out of the bye for the Commanders. If they're not able to get the one in New Jersey against the Giants, they'd have to win that game coming out of the bye to even really stand a chance in the wild card picture. And then just to kind of defend my Giants a little bit, we have lost an astonishing amount of players to injuries this season alone. Starting right tackle, we're down to our fourth starting left guard of the year against the Cowboys, starting edge rushers, two starting corners, starting free safety, starting receiver, just everywhere
is just completely diminished. Right.
But we got some guys coming back against the Commanders this Sunday, particularly Aziz Ojulari, the edge rusher that plays across from Kayvon Thibodeau. And then we also have Evan Neal, the first-round rookie right tackle, coming back as well. So hopefully it'll be a good game, rooting for that. For sure, all the Giants games this year have been extremely close, trying to give me a heart attack at the ripe young age of 23. So,
yeah,
but it's been a fun season, and either way, I think this division's going to be good going forward as well. A lot of young talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that, and this is in line with both of what you just said, but I don't know if there's anybody else in the NFC at all who want to make the playoffs. I mean, that's the problem, right?
True.
I mean, you got the Seahawks and the Falcons, and then you got the Lions, Packers. They're down there at four wins. I mean, there's a pretty big drop-off after that. I mean, so the Seahawks are contending at 6-5. The Falcons, 5-7, probably contending for the NFC South against the Buccaneers at 5-6. And then there's a drop-off. There's a bunch of four-win teams, and then there's the Rams and the Bears at three wins. There's just a huge drop-off there. And the way I see it, although you guys probably will – I mean, if one of you wins both games, that will be the team that makes the playoffs. The other team will probably miss it. If you split it, I can see you guys both making it. So I'm just saying there's not a lot of competition in NFC right now. All the competition's in the AFC. All right, well, that's some good info there, and who knows what's going to happen there, but it's going to be really interesting, and I already can tell that that's a game that both of you think are incredibly important coming up next week in Week 13, which I will certainly be keeping a close eye on. But let's go ahead and hit the boxing bell on that one, and let's go on to our next topic, because I want to talk about how Mike White, who took over for the 2021 first-round drafted quarterback Zach Wilson, managed to absolutely decimate my Bears. He was dominant, completing 22 of 28 passes of 315 yards and three touchdowns for a QB passer rating of 149.3. Of course, like I said, they're playing against the Bears in their last-ranked pass defense, so take it for a grain of salt. And the Bears obviously also starting their perennial backup, Trevor Siemian, under center. That's someone that, Trev, you should not be proud to be sharing a name with. What do you think here, Trev? Mike White, is he the answer for the New York Jets? Or is this the last we've seen of Zach Wilson?
I think this is not the last we've seen of Zach Wilson. He'll play again this year because the Jets will probably somehow end up with a losing record. And they'll be like, whatever. They might as well just go ahead and put Flacco in next week and just have all three play, just rotate him for the rest of the season. Zach plays, Mike White plays. Zach plays, Mike White plays. I mean, your Bears, it was against the Bears. You were decimated before the game because of injuries and lack of really good talent, honestly. That's no, like, offense, but, like, you guys are
outside. No, we have no talent.
You have no talent.
Right.
It wasn't. You guys are already decimated. Mike will play again until he has a bad game, throwing three picks or four picks, and Zach will have a chance again. Or Flacco might come in because they might think that Zach is pleased to be in timeout again, and then they'll bring him back out and play the rest of the season. So that's just a weird, weird, confusing organization right now. Just when you thought that Jets were going to turn the corner and be relevant again, they crap on themselves and do this. So.
It is a very Jets thing to do, for sure.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Who knows?
Yeah, and they're doing great striking out on first-round draft pick quarterbacks, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to predict that Zach Wilson ends up getting traded to the Carolina Panthers because they love taking all the leftovers, because that's what the Panthers love to do. Let's take the leftovers, and maybe they'll be better with us. Oh, no, they're not. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and others. All right, so what do you think here, Joey? Mike White, answer for the New York Jets?
Really, I think the win over the Bears and his stat line says more about Zach Wilson than I think it does of Mike White. That Shanahan coaching tree offenses, so like Mike LaFleur is the offensive coordinator there in New York, they really spoon feed their quarterbacks. There's a lot of motion. There's a lot of quick game stuff. There's a lot of play action. And it works when you just have like an average to an above average guy. It works. You know, Jimmy G in San Francisco, he's not a world beater by any means, but when you have a great quarterback, it like works even better. You know, Rodgers with the two straight MVPs under Matt LaFleur. The Rams obviously won the Super Bowl, and Matt Stafford had a pretty great season last year. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Mike White could step in and do something that Wilson hasn't done in his career to this point, which is throw three touchdowns in a single game, kind of speaks volumes about Zach Wilson more than does Mike White, right? And I saw some people in the media kind of giving too much credit to Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, you know, oh, like proud of them for benching Zach Wilson. I was like, these guys evaluated and drafted him. Why are we?
Yeah.
they got it wrong, and just because you admit you got it wrong doesn't mean you should get a pat on the back for it. So that was kind of annoying to see. You know, I'm a Jets hater anyway, but they've got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Sauce Gardner. So they've been kind of fun to watch this season, but we'll always kind of prey on their downfall a little bit there.
and they tend to do it. Like Trev says, the Jets will find a way to screw this up. That's what they do. So we'll see what happens there. Let's hit the boxing doll on that one. Let's talk about our next topic here, and that is the NFC South. So we talked about the NFC East, which we used to call the NFC Least, is now the NFC Beast. Now we get the NFC South. I don't know what to call them. I barely want to call them football at this point because they are horrible. So we got the Buccaneers up there at 5-6. We got the Atlanta Falcons at 5-7. The Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints at 4-8 apiece. All of them with negative point differentials. All of them just absolutely horrible. What are your thoughts here, Trev, on the NFC South? Who's going to end up winning that division?
Tom Brady's going to end up winning that division. It's so weird that the Panthers have beaten them, twice already, and they're still not winning. It's so weird. But Tom Brady, he'll get it turned around. Maybe not enough to make a good playoff run, but at least to win a division and make an appearance in the playoffs. I mean, it is Tom Brady. They won a Super Bowl. They have a roster of people who have been there before. I just don't see Baker Mayfield / Sam Darnold winning the division. I don't see Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston win the division, and I don't see Marcus Mariota, who just played on Sunday, win the division. So it's got to be a clear-cut Tom Brady. I mean, it's Tom Brady.
Okay, and I obviously agree with that because I have Tom Brady actually finding a way to make it to the NFC Championship game just because he's Tom Brady. But that being said, I know. I feel kind of dirty even saying that, honestly. Even thinking it makes me feel kind of gross. I feel like I have to take a shower now. But anyway, Joey, what do you think about the NFC South? Who's going to take that?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's really the obvious answer here. Just leaps and bounds ahead of any other team in that division talent-wise. Like, the record may not reflect it, only 5 wins this year so far. But like Trevor said, I don't see Carolina, Atlanta, or New Orleans making any sort of legitimate run at the playoffs. All three are basically borderline unwatchable. Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, not not watchable on television. Mm. That is a game I will turn off instantly. And it's a shame that I have to sometimes, like the local market, I'm in Atlanta, is sometimes Falcons games, so I have to tune in sometimes. But, not rolling with anybody else except Tampa. I don't think I agree with you on the NFC Championship run for them, but they'll probably take the division pretty easily.
All right. Bold prediction by me. I admit it. And of course, it's kind of funny because I look at their winning percentages, and when I see it for the NFC South, I think, man, that'd be a really good batting average, you know? But it's not a good winning percentage for the NFL, you know? 455, 417, and then a pair of that'd be killing it in MLB, but not in football for winning percentage there. All right. So that's our NFC South discussion. Hit the bell. We're rolling right along because there's some big news about Deshaun Watson. He's just finished serving his 11-game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy for committing sexual assault as defined by the NFL on a massage therapist. He also had to pay $5 million in fines and undergo a mandatory treatment program. Watson's return Sunday against his former team, the Houston Texans, will mark exactly 700 days since he last played in a regular season game, which was with the Texans on January 3rd of 2021. The Browns traded for Watson in March, sending the Texans 3 first-round draft picks. Whew. Cleveland then signed Watson to a 5-year deal worth $230 million guaranteed, the richest contract in NFL history. All right, Trev, we've talked about Watson before, and now he's going to actually play for the Browns. What do you think? Is this going to turn the Browns around, or is this just basically sunk season for them?
I think it might actually turn the Browns around a little bit. He's been to practice for a couple weeks now, so he has some kind of chemistry already started to build. He's Deshaun Watson. He led the league in passing at the Houston Texans with like 4,000 last time he really played. So like he's an obvious baller. Dabo said he's the Michael Jordan of football. I don't know about that, but he's very, very good.
Right.
Pair him with Amari Cooper. That's going to be nice. To add to the rushing attack of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. That's going to be nice. I think they're 4-7 now. So I don't really know the rest of the AFC playoff picture. So I don't know what their chances are, but if they have a chance, he definitely enhances their chance by coming back. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And of course, the Browns had that really exciting win last weekend, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So, Joey, what do you think here? The impact of Deshaun Watson and the Browns?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's too little too late at this point. I think for any realistic shot at the playoffs, they probably needed to be a little bit closer to 500 at this point in the season. There's too many teams ahead of them, including the entirety of the AFC East, which I was going to mention when we were talking about the NFC East. I think it might be a little bit more plausible for all four of those teams to get in than four NFC East teams. All those teams are extremely talented. Maybe not the Jets, but we'll go back on that one. Like you said, his first game in 700 days. He didn't exactly look accustomed to the Browns offense in the preseason either. I know he's got a couple more weeks of practice under his belt. I think in the preseason he went like 1 of 5 passing or 1 of 7 passing, something like that. So didn't really find his rhythm then. They probably finished the season around 8-9, get a like 4 more wins, and is probably optimistic at this point. But I think that was probably the outlook the team had from the start of the season, just kick the can to 2023, see what you can do in the draft and free agency, whatever. And that was probably the plan all along.
Yeah, I think from a practical perspective, I totally agree with you, Joey. But from a football fan perspective, I'm hoping that Trev is right and it ignites those Browns because they were really exciting this last weekend. And you know, it was behind Jacoby Brissett and Nick Chubb and all, and that was fun. And I'm interested to see what happens here, what they've bought for $230 million, which, gee whiz, you know, I can't even think about what that feels like. That $230 million guarantee.
That's nuts.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and hit the bell on that one because I want to talk about next another up-and-comer, and that's Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lamar Jackson, obviously, put the Ravens up to 27-20 with 2:02 left to play against the Jags this last weekend, and the Jags needed a 75-yard drive with no timeouts, which turned out to be no problem for Lawrence and company as they overcame a 3rd-and-21 and a 4th down and got Marvin Jones a shin-dragging touchdown and Zay Jones a two-point conversion. Talk about just kahunas there. And even with all that, Justin Tucker still had a chance to win it for the Ravens with a 67-yard field goal, which, by the way, would have been broken his own record of the longest field goal in NFL history of 66 yards, but he missed it by about maybe 1.5 or 2 yards, which he was dead on, just didn't quite get there. And he was lamenting that after the game because during warmups he was regularly hitting from 70 yards. So can you believe that if he actually managed to hit that one? But that being said, Jaguars managed to do it. And interesting stat here, the Jaguars, they've trailed by a touchdown or more in the last minute of regulation 183 times in the history of that franchise. Wow. 183 times they've trailed by a TD or more in the last minute of the regulation. Trev and Joey, how many times do you think they managed to come back and win?
4 times.
Okay.
I'll roll with 4 as well.
It was 0 times. None times. They've never been able to come back and win. This is the first time ever that they've trailed by a TD or more in the last minute of regulation and actually won. Isn't that amazing? Oh, wow. I was shocked when I saw that. I was shocked. But, hey, what does this say about Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars? Have they turned the corner of this? Is this the future? Are they trending up? Trev, what do you think?
I mean, they turned the corner of that stat particularly right there.
Right.
It's in the corner of making football games exciting.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's good for them. But also, I think it's more telling of the Ravens. They just don't know how to finish games this season. They self-implode all the way back against Joey's Giants when they were hit by like 10 in the fourth quarter or something like that and they end up losing that game. That was like week 2 or 3 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they haven't been able to stay healthy. They haven't been able to close out, finish out games, whether they're leading or, you know, the chance to win at the end. They just can't do it. So I think it's more so telling about the Ravens. But since you asked about the Jaguars, yeah, they are turning a corner. It's a small, minuscule corner, but it is a corner they're turning. So shout out to Peter and Trevor Lawrence down there.
Yeah, definitely. So, Joey, what do you think about these Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence? Have they turned a corner? Is this the new Jaguars, new and improved Jaguars, or is it not?
I think turning the corner is certainly subjective with the Jaguars.
Right.
If I turn the corner, you mean they won't have the number one pick again? Then yeah, sure, they've turned
low
the
bar.
Yep. I like Trevor Lawrence. I've liked him since he was in college. You know, he played high school ball here in Georgia too, so kind of followed him then too. I like Doug Peterson, despite the atrocity he committed against the Giants a few years ago. When he completely screwed the game against the Commanders to prevent them from making the playoffs. That was horrible. That was the worst
thing
I've ever seen.
Very, very
just,
clearly.
I was so mad online.
Doing his job.
I would like to see probably a bit more from them, though, before I kind of crown them as, like, a new and improved team. They're young, and they have a lot of potential to get better the next few years, but honestly, that's expected when you pick in the top 5 year after year after year. Sometimes you're going to get lucky and actually draft good talent. and sometimes you're going to hire the right coach and develop that talent. So hopefully that's the case this time around.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to point out how bad the Ravens are in the second half of games. Obviously, they only have 4 losses this season, but each of those losses, they were winning at the half in most times into the fourth quarter and managed to lose it by less than a score. So that says something, I think, about your defense and about who they are. But if you look at who they lost to, I mean, aside from the Jaguars, Dolphins and the Bills and the Giants, all teams that are playoff contenders. So maybe they're not as bad as we think. Their offense, though, looks a little off. I think that Lamar Jackson looks like he's a step off. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I know you got the best kicker in the NFL, but let's not rely on him so much for field goals. Let's get some touchdowns. You know, I mean, it just doesn't seem like they're doing what they need to do. And Mark Andrews does not seem right since he came back from injury. There is something wrong with him. You know, I don't know what it is, but he does not look 100% right. Okay. So Trevor Lawrence, we'll see what happens to him. Hit the bell on that one. Let's go on to the next topic and talk about the most important games for Week 13. So I'm going to put it to you guys this way. I know there are games you want to watch, and I know that Commanders or Giants are going to be up there for sure. But and we're going to talk about that in a second because we already kind of touched on that. But are there other games that you think are really important in Week 13 to to watch? Trev, go ahead and fire away.
I just pulled it up as I'm looking right now. So I think Titans-Eagles is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously think that Giants-Commanders are huge because that will for sure give us a more of an inkling of the NFC East and playoff picture on that. So I think that's huge.
Definitely.
And then 49ers and Dolphins. That's huge too. Two potential playoff teams. Maybe Super Bowl. Who knows? Could be a previous Super Bowl.
Maybe.
Crazy things have happened, so you never know. And then honestly, Chiefs and Bengals. I'm looking forward to that too because the Bengals started off 0-2 and everybody was freaking out. They've won what, like 7 out of the last 9 games now or something like that. So like 7.
Right.
I don't know. They're on the streak right now. Jamar Chase.
They're doing well.
Healthy. And the Chiefs are the Chiefs. No matter how they start off the year, they're going to be there at the end of the year. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they're out of their minds right now, so that should be pretty good. So,
Jamar Chase coming back. And you know, Bengals have been doing it without Jamar Chase, and they did it last weekend without Joe Mixon. So they're all coming back theoretically, so this will be fun. All right, Joey, what do you think? Most important games for Week 13?
Yeah, I think actually Bills-Patriots tomorrow night has a lot of potential for the playoff picture.
Absolutely.
The Bills maybe taking a little bit of a lead in the AFC East. It would hurt the Patriots' chances of making the playoffs. And then another AFC East team, the Jets, taking on the Vikings. It's another matchup between two teams with winning records.
Yeah.
The Vikings have a chance to maybe gain some ground on the Eagles for the number one seed in the NFC. Like Trevor mentioned, the Eagles are taking on the Titans. So it's a very losable game for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. They've had a very easy schedule to this point.
We'll
get into that a little bit later. Besides those two, the Dolphins and the Niners, obviously I think it's going to be a fun one with Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan. That kind of the first matchup between those two and then Giants Commanders.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that you guys have said as well, because I had the Chiefs and Bengals, Dolphins and 49ers, and the Commanders and Giants circled on my calendar. But I'm also looking forward to the Steelers and Falcons because I think that the Falcons, if they want to have a chance at winning the NFC South, they got to win that game. And they got to keep winning because, I think that Tampa Bay does have the opportunity here to kind of put this behind them, put it in the rearview mirror, just forget about the losses because it doesn't really matter because they're in a really weak division. And the Falcons are the only team there that I think can give them a run for their money. At all. I just don't think the Panthers or Saints have any possibility of that. So I'll have my eye on that one as well. All right. So in total, lots of terrific games to watch in Week 13. Hit the boxing bell. Final topic of the day, guys. Let's give our updated AFC Conference Championship and NFC Conference Championship predictions, starting with the AFC. Who you got there, Trev?
Wow. Conference Championship, AFC. I'm going to go Chiefs and...
Yep.
Man, this is tough. I'm going to say the Bills. I don't know why, but I just think that they'll just find a way to do it.
Okay.
Get rid of all the ghosts and stuff that's happening. So Chiefs-Bills right now.
Okay, that's a popular choice. What do you think, Joey?
I hate to do the same, but my heart wants Bills-Chiefs after that divisional game last year. Leaving 13 seconds on the clock for Patrick Mahomes. That was one of the all-time great games to watch. So hopefully get to see a rematch and an even bigger game in the conference championship there.
All right. And I haven't moved from last week. I got the Chiefs, but I got the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are going to make it there for the Chiefs in that AFC conference championship team. Book it, guys. Book it.
Okay.
I'm making a guarantee right now. Dolphins in the AFC championship. All right. Let's go to the NFC. What do you got, Trev?
It's wide open, bro. Wide open. So tonight I'm going to say Commanders and, Tampa Bay. Tom Brady will put a wall up his butt and they'll just right off to the sunset into the NFC Championship against Mike.
I'm pretty sure you put a bet on that right now. You're going to win big money if they get there. I'm just saying.
I'm
the odds of getting that got to be pretty good for you in terms of return on investment. What do you got here on the NFC side, Joey?
I like the 49ers, and as much as I hate to say it, the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are built in a way to take on the Eagles. That defense is very strong. A lot of talent at corner. Obviously, Micah Parsons is probably the best defensive player in football. I think that matchup on Christmas Eve is going to reveal a lot about both teams, and I think the Cowboys come on up top. You remember in the first matchup, it was kind of a runaway with the Eagles, but Cooper Rush was starting. But now they've got Dak, and he's pretty much firing on all cylinders. I will say I have the 49ers winning the game, but I do like the Cowboys to get there at least.
Wow, okay. And I haven't moved from last week. I have the Eagles and the Buccaneers because I hate it, but I can't bet against Tom Brady. So that's what we got, guys, in the air horn on the show. Hey, Trev, why don't you give us a social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, at TrevHTTC, Instagram, Trev_stores, Ref the District Podcast with Nathan and the Stoner, Football Grabber,
yes, sir,
Moon and OG Joey tonight, and
woo!
Also Ref Commander with George Carmi, so I'm everywhere.
He is everywhere, guys. Trust me, he's everywhere, but he can do it. He can be everywhere at once. That's what Trev brings to the show. He can bring everything to the show. All right, Joey, what do you got here for us on social media?
Yeah, I'm at Joey Libro on Twitter. Just always talking about the Giants and random NFL stuff that's going on. Starting to get a little bit into the FanDuel DFS stuff, so maybe I'll start tweeting a little bit more about that as well.
Nice. All right. Love nothing like a little bit of DFS. That's always a lot of fun. So, Joey, thanks for joining us back on the show. It's been fantastic having you on here. We're going to have to get you back on here more often, I think. It's once every year and a half. Maybe a little bit too, irregular. Let's try to go for at least once every year. How's that?
Let's go
at minimum.
It.
At minimum. All right. We'll start low. We'll work our way up. All right. You can find me on Twitter at FB Garbage Time and on Facebook at the F Football Garbage Time page. As usual, thank you for listening and wasting time with us. Until next time, enjoy your NFL week.